Maybe we have failed. Maybe we have succeeded. There can be no doubt that the pantry of survivalism is full of stuff, techniques, tactics, materials, technologies, and alternative providers. What our pantry lacks is the honesty and the wisdom to question absolutely everything because, who knows, maybe the emperor, after all, truly has no clothes. This is not a how-to-do book, though there is some of that in it. This is a how-to-think book. By definition, since most people love the world the way it is, maybe they'd like some cosmetic changes, it isn't for most people. Released into the world it challenges and the philosophy it rejects, it is bound to be more hated than loved, more rejected than embraced. With all that said, it humbly offers another viewpoint, another completely different idea of life, and it is a call to consider again the old foundations and the old paths. It is designed to fundamentally challenge the way things are, and the religious, social, and cultural maxims that got us to where we are. It may make your head spin, or it may make you angry, but it will have been successful if it makes you think. Survival cannot be a temporary Pyrrhic victory, or pretty stitches on a mortal gash. If survival is to be real, it must result in salvation, which makes it all the more important that we question everything. Introduction. If you pay attention to the news, there seems to be much trepidation and worry in the world today. Western civilization looks to be coming apart at the seams. Economies around the world are crashing. There are massive job layoffs and bank failures, and governments are printing and spending trillions of pretend dollars to try to stem the tide of collapse. There is a palpable nervousness in the air, and it seems that most people are just trying to pretend as if nothing permanently serious is going on. For over a century, the Western democracies have seen unprecedented growth and relative success and have been the envy of the whole world when it comes to standard of living. Now, if one dares look closely, it appears that there is a change coming, and that change is making a lot of people really nervous. But have we been here before? Is there a time in history that we can look to in order to learn what is likely to befall Western society in the coming years? Urbanism and Suburbanism, the Modern Rome. Towards the end of the 4th century, Rome, the capital city of the Western Roman Empire, was a metropolis of more than 1 million inhabitants. Most of the citizens of Rome were purely urbanites, people who had never known any other life, and whose families and households had lived in the city for generations. The agrarian skills and trades that had allowed people to survive and thrive for thousands of years around the world had been almost completely lost by the city folk in Rome, and, much like today, city dwellers looked down their noses and sneered at people who actually had or chose to work in the soil and with their hands to provide the necessities of survival. What a change this was from earlier epochs, particularly when we look at the Greek Empire, 500 years or more before Christ. Although much of the Hellenic world was urban, and although the Greek Empire had some of the most marvelous cities ever built, the Greeks understood the slavery and deception of the city, and had a high regard for agriculture and the rural life. Of the Greeks, the great historian Will Durant said, "The freemen of the countryside tend to look down upon the denizens of the city as either weakling parasites or degraded slaves." Unhappily, in the fullness of time, the Greeks went down a road that is now well traveled. They blazed that road for the Romans who were to come after them. In 1 century, Durant tells us, Athens moves from household economy, wherein each household makes nearly all that it needs, to urban economy, wherein each